We continue our discourse as we deal with the essence, theme-wise, of sound doctrine and the fact that that's not what's going on coming out of our pulpits. Why is it that grace doctrine or preaching is so unappealing in modern ministry? Why are we hard-pressed, amen, to prioritize and focus on what God is doing rather than what man is doing? Why is it so unappealing? Oh, my God. To the masses that sit in the pews. Why is it we are not focusing and dealing, prioritizing and majoring in our contract? The grace doctrine. That which God revealed to Paul to be preached to the church in the present dispensation. We continue it, and if you have your last week bulletin, I'm running a week behind, look like here, and of course I'm not worried about. Remember that part in there that we this morning, we look at why, look at the various reasons why we are the preaching in this hour right now. Many are open to the Old Testament. And they're espousing themes telling us that this thing is going to get better on earth. And that's not what Jesus said. In prophecy in Matthew 24, we don't see him talking about things getting better. We see him talking about things getting worse. And even in this evil age that we're in now,
right now,
the present evil age, but yet the greatest age, for out of this age, the present church age, oh my God, we have illumination of such a blessed contract, the grace covenant.
Grace.
Everybody said the grace covenant.
Grace.
That's our contract this morning, and oh, we're so blessed. Amen. As we look at the things that are around us, and of course, since the last time we stood before you, which was just 7 days ago, we know that many things have occurred, many things have happened, and that's really not where our focus is going to be this morning, except to say that grace, doctrinal teaching is still the prioritized focus of ministering in the present age. And so we won't stand up here this morning and engage you in politics and the social order of the quandary of things that are going on and are happening out there that seems so unstable. Yet, if you're looking for stability, it cannot be in a man or a mission. It must be in the essence of looking at the decree of God and in our contract, and see that we are secure, we're safe, we always have been safe. We were never in peril.
Right, right.
You were never in peril of hell. You were never... Oh my God, hallelujah. This is not to say that we are not going to feel the effects of the things that are happening out here. For we shall go through these things. And we won't go through the worst thing. It's because when it gets really, really, really to the end, amen, God takes us out of here. It's called the rapture. Takes us out of here. And when he takes us out of here, then things are really, really going to get bad. Amen. And that's
Amen.
What is spoken of over in Revelation. It speaks about the breaking of the vows and the curses. But in the meantime, some pretty scary stuff has happening right now, isn't it? Huh? Well, of course, if you will only fear, we only fear that we don't what? We don't understand. We tend to fear the things that we don't understand. The more knowledge we have, the less we fear. The less knowledge we have, the more we fear. So the ministers that are teaching you five ways and talking about five ways how to do it, it's all that is being shown up for what it is. It's a sham.
Yeah, sure is.
It's a sham.
Mm-hmm.
Take last week's pastor's pill. Hopefully you got it. I'll pass out this document. As now we'll probably go through maybe a couple of more Sundays of this, and then we're going to move back to our main document dealing with actualization and God's, by God's decree in eternity, what the real action is, manifestation in time. And we will continue periodically to give you these excerpts. But this document is some 40-some pages long, 40, 50 pages, something like that. So at some point, we will move to something else and then come back to this. But why is grace preaching, grace doctrine of preaching, so unappealing in the pulpits today? Why are the eternal things of God so unappealing? Why is the plan of God so unappealing? Various reasons have been proffered for the lamentable failure of modern ministry in addressing grace doctrine of preaching in our pulpits. Chief among them, and we will deal with this for the next 2 or 3 weeks, spiritual or scripture laziness, desire for popularity, superficial and lopsided evangelism, and of course, love for sensationalism. You know. And so we're going to assess these motivational trends that are transpiring from the pulpits. I want you to take your Bibles. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. This morning we'll just focus on scriptural laziness. Sometimes we've caught some flack from the pulpit here because of our mode and methodology of preaching and teaching. But I said to you this morning, Grace Gospel, I will always as the pastor and the ministry in kind will always use the methodology of showing you rather than just telling you. We can tell you anything, but it must come from the Word of God. Rightly divided. And so we exegete. We break this thing down into components. First of all, to make sure that we're giving you the correct conveyance. We have several numerous translations, and even when you look in the manuscripts, there are three classifications, but within the classification, you have several documents, papyri, and codexes and so things all over the place. And so, as we seek to give the right conveyances, what we will do, we will line these things up and we will exegete them according to the grammatical aspect, contextual, and historical. And we will preach to you from our contract. We will dare stand and preach grace doctrinally.
Right.
So first of all, where you are preaching from and where you're teaching from is the most important thing.
Yes, yes, yes.
The message for the church today is the mystery.
Mystery.
We're not talking about some novel a mystery. We're not talking about something mystic either. This is the message that God revealed to Paul that was hid from generations. But now, having made known to the church. And this thing has been around 2,000 years now, so it's about time for someone to, to know it. Amen. Everybody said the grace covenant.
The grace covenant.
All right, Brother Deacon and congregation, let's start at verse 6. Everybody turn to 1 Timothy. Chapter 4. Verse 6. Everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
Brother Deacon, first let's read from the King James. And of course, the reason why we do that is most of us, we cut our teeth on the King James, including myself. Then we would go to the Greek interlinear. And we would do some exegeting. All right, everybody got it again. Amen. All right, read.
Reading from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. King James Version. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained.
You know, it's like Paul is not even writing here. It's like the ministries of the day, it just went right by them. You look and see what's coming out, the messages are.
Mm-hmm.
Keep reading.
Verse 7, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
But refuse profane and old wives' fables. And
okay,
exercise.
Now we'll deal with that when we get to that. Go ahead.
And exercise thyself rather unto godliness.
Mm-hmm.
For bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is,
mm-hmm.
and of that which is to come.
Life that is and the life that is to come.
Now, of course, that
reads a little differently from that. But you got to understand the difference between actualization by God's decree in eternity and manifestation in time to really grasp the essence of what Paul is speaking about there. All right, keep reading.
This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation.
Mm-hmm.
For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach.
Now see, but Paul said we're doing this thing right and God is, we're living in a $1 million house. Huh? I'm just paraphrasing it in today's language, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we driving. I don't even know what we driving Bentleys,
yes.
Huh? We're living in clover.
Mm-hmm.
What these guys? They wouldn't want to run the Apostle Paul.
No.
Listen to what Paul is saying.
For therefore we labor and suffer reproach.
Say that again. We labor and suffer.
Suffer reproach.
Uh-huh.
because we trust in the living God.
He said, "Man, people who trust in God, they're not supposed to suffer."
Yeah.
You wonder why they don't fool around in Paul's epistles. They're going to take you back to Abraham and tell you how many oxen he had. So I bless you in the morning. I bless you in the, you know, everybody stand up on their feet, giving each other high fives. And, you wonder why? Huh? I'm taking you through some glorious battle that you were won. I'm in the Proverbs reading some of the aphorism there. Some of them pretty good principle aphorism, but you know that. Giving you the prescription, giving you the the antidote for prospering. That's why I don't fool with Paul, because I mean, he's telling it like it is. And this is the message to the church in this age. Keep reading.
Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially to of those that believe.
We'll clean that up, that read exactly like that. All right. Keep reading.
These things command and teach.
Say that again.
These things command and teach.
Read that again.
These things command and teach.
We'll find out what Paul is saying there. Read.
Let no man despise thy youth,
mm-hmm.
but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity.
And then he said in verse 13, what?
Till I come,
uh-huh.
give attendance to reading.
To what?
To exhortation.
And to what?
To doctrine.
Now, like I said, the book upstairs, I got the teaches you how to build a big congregation, or they call a successful congregation, because them success means the number of people you got,
right.
the amount of real estate you got,
right.
and of course, the amount of money you've got.
Right.
You know what that book says? That book says, don't teach doctrine. Don't teach doctrine, because doctrine divides. Teach issues, because issues unite. But that's a book. This is the book. So what shall we follow? Shall we follow a book or the book? Let's go to the Greek. Those of you who don't have the Greek in the lineage, I'm praying that you can meet you, and some of the rest of you who knows how to get this will get some more of these, continue until we get everyone here regimented in the Greek. And we do this again because we want to know what the Word of God is actually conveying, not what has been traditionally been taught. We're not interested in what is orthodox. We're interested in what is true, because every time what is orthodox is not true.
That's it. Amen.
We have made the word orthodoxy synonymous with truth. You look up that word orthodox, and I won't get it to that. I could break it down into components in the Greek and everything, but simply orthodox is what the majority believes.
That's right.
At any point, it could be one thing, and the next time, in another age, orthodoxy is heresy.
Man.
You look into just church history. Not too many centuries ago, baptism by submersion was heresy. People died because. Now, if you're not submerging in water, it's heresy. What does the scripture say?
There you go.
When you open this book, what are the actual conveyances? The scriptures. That's what we have to hear. I'm going to take our time. I'm going to break this thing down. And I would rather for you to get this much and have it straight than to run through all of this and you have no idea what's going on. And when you come into the Grace Gospel Church, doctrine is what you're going to get. Person comes in here and they don't like, first of all, if they don't like the Bible, the scriptures, they're not going to be happy here. And especially if you don't like Paul's gospel, you're not going to be happy here. You go into a Chinese restaurant because what? You like Chinese food. Come in here, that means you love the grace gospel. Okay, Brother Deacon and everyone, I'm going to go back through this. Begin in verse 6 from the Greek text.
1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning verse 6, interlinear Greek text. These things.
Hold it. Here you have what you call an adjectival pronoun. Actually, they put things there. Well, I don't have a problem with things. These. Actually, what you have there is a demonstrative pronoun. It is an accusative case. What is the accusative case? It's the direct object. So everything that Paul is talking about is focusing on these. Now we have to break down and see what these are. Read again slowly.
These things suggesting to the brethren.
No, I don't like that. Oh my God. Hold it. Just hold it. You see that? You see he's got that little mark there by that word? You know why he did that? Because that's not really what they're saying. Here you have a verb participle. What is a participle? Verb adjective. What does an adjective do?
Describe.
It describes. Right? Mm-hmm. You see, you just go through this thing. It'll tell you what it's saying. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thanks.
It means to place before or to point out. We're placing it before you, not for the purpose of suggestion. We're placing it before you because the Holy Spirit is going to give illumination. My job is to put this word out here.
Yeah.
I have not the ability to make anybody understand it. Who is the teacher?
The Holy Spirit.
So place it out there. This is not being placed out for suggestion. Cross that word out. Suggest. Place before. Or point out. So these point out. Point out where? Or to who?
To the brothers.
To the brothers. To the brothers. The brothers are here, and it's mighty, now they're going to go ape on us with that gender thing. I'm going to play that. Let's not get off on a tangent here. Place it before the congregation. Place it before those who sit in the pews. These things place before those who you are ministering to.
That's right. That's right.
That's simply what it means. And if you do this, what's going to happen?
A good thou will be minister
You'll
of
be a
Christ.
Good minister
Jesus.
Of Jesus Christ. That's what the good minister is. He's placing before you what? A good minister nourished what?
Nourished by the words of the faith of the good teaching which thou has followed.
Follow this now. Follow this. The words of the faith. And I know the people play on words and they make the words that the words that belong to the faith. Here, the faith here is the same faith that Paul is talking about in Ephesians. When in Ephesians chapter 4, when he says, one Lord, what?
One faith.
One faith. One faith. What are you talking about? Well, he tells you what he means here. Huh? That faith is of the what?
Of that thou hast followed, which
no,
thou
no,
hast
before
followed.
Before that.
Oh.
The faith, the faith of the faith.
And of the good teaching.
Of the good teaching. What is good teaching? Here we have an adjective there. Kalis. It's an adjective. It's an adjective. It's in a genitive case. What's the genitive case?
Ownership, possession.
Shows ownership. In fact, you've got a double genitive. Follow me here. You say, but Pastor, you're getting it. Just listen.
Amen.
Just listen.
Thank you.
Got all this foolishness going on out here.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
We want to know what the real deal is. Don't you want to know what the real deal is? Kalis Thistos Kalias, which you have a double genitive there. Kalis, translated good, right, proper. What is good, right, proper teaching? Thistos Kalias. Here you have to take that and you have to line that up. But what he has just previously said, words of the faith. Paul says there's only one faith. Paul said, what Lord, what faith? He said, what faith is that? Waste time of the apostolic faith. He said, no. He's speaking of the message of the mystery. Remember in chapter 3, he said, if you've heard of the dispensation, oh my God. Through revelation. The mystery. Everybody said a mystery.
A mystery.
What is the mystery? The mystery is the volume of truth.
Amen.
That God revealed to Paul for the church.
Right. Amen. Right.
As we shall see in this passage, as well as corroborating other passages, he says to Timothy, teach this that you've heard from me and nothing else.
Nothing else. That's what he's saying.
You don't teach the rest of the Bible. Now listen to what we listen. Listen, understand. Paul references the Old Testament, but a corroboration. He references the kingdom gospel, but in corroboration. We'll talk about some things in Psalms, but only as they corroborate what we're talking about here in Hebrews, or in Timothy, or in Romans, or Galatians. Paul talks, didn't he go back there and he used some example in corroboration? But if I want to learn about justification, I'm not going back there where he said, and God justified Abraham. It will raise more questions than it will answer. So we must have sound grace teaching. So where you preach from is the determinant of what you're going to get. Because there are some things back there in Psalms that clash. Huh? What are you talking about? Lesson? Yeah, absolutely. We're not going to go back to asking the Lord not to take His Spirit from us, are we? That was written under what? Under the law. Under the law, it says, if you do good and you be obedient, I'll bless you. If you don't, I'll curse you. If you obey me, I'll bless you. If you disobey me, I'll curse you. What does that mean to a depraved spirit? Nothing. A law was given for what? To show that you could do it.
That's it. Amen. Yes.
Not that you would do it through the law, but to show that you couldn't do it through the law. So here's what he is saying. Of the good, the faith, the truths are the words of the faith and of the good teaching, which what?
Which thou hast followed.
Thou hast followed. What are you talking about? Here we have a verb. The verb is parakolutikos. Parakolutikos. It is a verb. It is an indicative mood. What is the indicative mood? But you know what? That's in the perfect tense. What's the perfect tense?
Completed
action. What? Ongoing. So what Paul is saying to Timothy, those things that are established in you, I mean, through the fact that you have sat under my watch chair, and that I have conveyed to you those things that you heard of me and learned of me. What are you talking about, Paul? Those things are, and my God, that he is speaking of those things that God gave to him, and somebody stupid talking about. Paul is bragging, and he said, my gospel. You see, that's carnality coming out. Amen. Listen, he's speaking of that which God revealed to him.
Yeah.
They're not going to like it. Paul got in trouble with James and John and Peter when he was preaching this. That's why they called the council up at Jerusalem.
That's right.
Because Paul was telling them that they were not under law. Say, you're not under law, you're under grace. And Peter, James, and John, they were preaching kingdom.
Yes, indeed.
They were preaching the new covenant. Yes. The new covenant in Jeremiah chapter 31 replaces the old covenant.
Yeah.
And the old covenant was saying what? You, if you do, you don't. Then the new covenant said, hey, well, Christ has come to help you do. And then the grace covenant come along and said, no such thing as do's and don'ts. Not in the sense of where God has placed you.
That's right.
You're not where you are because you did something to please God.
I hear you.
And this is what he's saying. This is what's got to come from the pulpit.
Amen.
All right. Well, look at that clock. Let's go to verse 7.
But the profane
mm-hmm.
and old womanish tales refuse.
I see. I don't know why he put that in there. I guess maybe because it's in the feminine gemino. Wives is nowhere there. Woman is nowhere there. Let me give you the exact reading, because I know someone's going to challenge you on this. The exact reading is tous the vabulus ke Grothis. Here it says, reject. Reject what? Here we have the Greek, we have the Greek word Zavilus. What is that translated?
Tales.
No, they said profane there. That word means ungodly.
Oh, sorry, profane. Commerce.
That word means ungodly. That word simply means ungodly. Reject the ungodly. And what else? We have Grotis Mythos Paritu. And silly sayings. The word that they have put all wives in there simply means silly. You know where they got that from? They got that from, you know, where Paul speaks about going around from house to house and this silly women and so forth and so on. But that. Why would wives be there? That's not translated wives. Silly sayings. Reject the ungodly and silly sayings. All you got to do is to turn on your TV and watch some of these church services.
Oh,
and what's coming from the pulpit is silly sayings.
Amen.
Silly things. That's all he's saying. And that's why we read this exactly from the Greek. Reject ungodly and silly things, the silly things that are being said. They're silly because they're not true. And they're silly because they're not relevant. And they're silly because they make no sense. Not in the true essence of what the Word of God is teaching. Give me the second part of that. And he said, do what?
And exercise thyself to piety.
Godliness. So exercise, your exercises must be in godliness, not in ungodly, silly sayings.
Thank God, yes. Amen.
Ooh. That's why we're not getting up here telling you my subject is.
Uh-huh.
Better get out of here with that. You're not talking about Jesus, what? You're wasting time. You're wasting time. I'm going to get up here this morning talking about the election that's coming up. No. Yeah, no. We'll say this, sir. As good citizens, go vote. That's it. Am I going to spend an hour up here talking about Wall Street? That's silly. Telling you five ways how to get rich? That's silly. Telling you that you can get your health and keep it? That is silly. Telling you that godliness is gain? That is asinine. That is really silly. Because that's the case. Paul was the most ungodly person you ever saw. He never had a nickel to run against. Yeah, he had money before he met Jesus. But after he met Jesus on the road, to Damascus, it was post Damascus, it was all downhill. Just the opposite of what they're preaching today. That's why we don't go back there talking about how many oxen Abraham had, you know, and he had this, then the other. And somebody was reading, you know, they was reading, and boy, he gonna say, "Well, we gonna buy a bank." Yeah, but I ain't gonna call this thing. You know what I'm talking about. Gonna buy a bank. Your bank's failing, you're gonna buy a bank. That's silly. So that's what he's saying here. So what he's telling you, what we're not going to talk about, or what you shouldn't talk about, what you should and what you shouldn't.
Amen.
All right? Deacon, let's kind of move on through that a little faster now. Verse 8, 9, 10, and 11.
Verse 8. For bodily exercise for a little is profitable, but piety for all things profitable. Is.
My God, the godliness of all things, but you know what godliness is. Know what profit is.
Mm-hmm.
Know what profit is and what profit is not.
Right.
Know what success is and what success is not.
Amen.
Read.
Promise having the life of the now and of the coming.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Even the now, what is the real now? I don't have time to break that down. You know, the real now is the essence of you dwelling in eternity. And the now in manifestation is what? What you're going through today, which may change, which will change.
Amen.
But in the last part of the manifestation, when he speaks of that which is to come, he's speaking about a manifestation of the eternal, of eternality, versus manifestation of what? Of the now. The now manifestation is physicality. We're in these bodies and we're going through things and we got bills and we got troubles, we got problems. And things are deteriorating. It's not where we really are. What did Paul say? Where are we really? We're in the body of Christ. Those that are in Christ, they are what? We are. We are new creations.
Right.
Remember what Paul said that?
Mm-hmm.
Then he said, in eternity, these bodies, the body is destroyed already. All physicality destroyed. But we have what?
Body, house.
Not remember a spiritual body. And you know what? Let me just say this and we move on. We've been taught that we're all going to have individual glorified bodies in heaven. That's not scripture. Whenever he speaks of the body, you look there at the number and it's always singular. Body, not bodies. We are members of the body. Not a bunch of bodies in the body. We are members of his body.
Now.
Not will be.
Right now.
So that's what he's talking. Keep going.
Uh-huh.
Oh, look at that clock.
Verse 9. Faithful the word and of all acceptance worthy.
Mm-hmm.
To this, for we labor and struggle because we have.
Yeah, look at the. You're doing what? You're struggling. Man, if you got a successful ministry, you're not supposed to be struggling. What's wrong with you, Paul? You're supposed to be living on Easy Street. You're supposed to be living in the palace. If you're successfully ministering. Or was something wrong with Paul here? Read.
We have set hope on God a living,
mm-hmm.
who is Savior of all men,
mm-hmm.
especially of believers.
Basically, there all that's actually the definite article is not there, and we'll deal with that maybe perfecting the day. That definite article is not there. It's each and every of a kind. He's talking about the elect there. Every one of the elect. He is the Savior of each and every one of the elect. Every one of men that are of the elect. Each and every of a kind. All right, keep reading.
Verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
Charge thou these things
mm-hmm.
and teach.
See, what? Now he's back to these. You got that same word again, right? Huh? In verse 11, right? Ta-ta. Same thing he said back up here in verse 6.
Yeah.
Now, we know what these, we've gone through this. Now we know what these things are.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I charge you to preach them.
Mm-hmm. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm. Our commission and charge is to preach. What? The essence of salvation? What is it? Justification?
Yeah.
Perpetuation?
Oh, yeah.
What's that? Something to eat? No. Well, yeah. Hey, it's spiritual food.
Mm-hmm.
Eat it. Please eat it. But don't. You won't use your teeth, your physical teeth, to do it. It won't go down your stomach. Adoption?
Oh, yeah.
You start talking like that, people get bored.
Mm-hmm.
Go to sleep on you. Some of them get up and walk out on you.
Yeah.
Now I'm told these ministers here, you keep preaching.
Amen. Amen. Thank God.
If we don't preach this, what are we going to preach? Certainly not that silly stuff. Because it said, don't preach that silly stuff.
Amen.
Didn't it say that? Verse 11, verse 12.
No one of thee,
mm-hmm.
the youth,
mm-hmm.
let despise,
mm-hmm.
but a pattern become thou of the believers,
mm-hmm.
in speech,
mm-hmm.
in behavior,
mm-hmm.
in love,
mm-hmm.
in faith,
mm-hmm.
in purity.
That's our orders. Verse 13.
Until I come,
mm-hmm.
attend to the reading.
Oh my God.
To the exhortation, to the teaching.
Okay, we're going to break that down. Listen, let's go back to our document for a minute. Scripture laziness. Everybody says scripture laziness. Today's modern ministering has popularized the least path of resistance.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
To conveying all and more specific every counsel of God, which is scripturally the grace, gospel, and dispensation. Acts chapter 24, Paul said, I have not neglected to convey to you what?
The gospel of
the entire counsel of God. And what is it? The gospel of the grace of God. And here, 1 Corinthians chapter 3:10. We don't have time. Our time has run out on us. Ephesians 3:2. Colossians 1:6. Why are we calling all these scriptures? Because we're saying something that's not orthodox. And if you're going to come after us, and that's for those that are listening, you come through these scriptures. We'll put these scriptures up before us. Now, if you can knock down these scriptures, then you can successfully refute what we're saying here. Sadly, it is more popularly appealing to pander to human resonances with secularity, a physicality, than engage the masses to dwell in spirituality or eternality. I know that's true.
Yes.
Furthermore, it is a far and this is where it really, really goes. It is a far greater exacting task to encounter the non-secularity, that is, the physically unseen, which in no way is fleshly appealing. I want to hold your attention, and I want you to like what I'm saying, so I'm going to speak that which appeals to the flesh. The gospel of grace does not appeal to the flesh.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
In fact, the gospel, the flesh doesn't like the gospel of grace.
Amen. That's right.
Not the true doctrine of grace.
Amen.
Additionally, employing the doctrines of grace induces that which calls for much closer confinement in scripture study. For instance, preparing a series of messages on the doctrine of justification exacts more scriptural plausibility than sermonic cursory addresses on prayer, missions. These things okay in themselves. Personal social work. Family relationships. The messages on the family relationships. In that, the prioritized theme of the grace scriptures then gender the eternal heavenlies over the temporary earthly. Here's where we're going with this. We're talking about the eternal heavenlies things. We're in the spiritual realm. We're talking about the earthly physical things. We're in the physical realm. So I will, and this is where we live? Yeah. Prioritize. What you going to prioritize? You going to prioritize the things that are around you that are evaporating? Are you going to prioritize? Paul said we're looking at the, what? Unseen. We're not looking at the seen, because the seen is what?
Temporary.
And the unseen is what?
Eternal.
So if the unseen is eternal, and the scene is temporary, what you going to prioritize? What you going to prioritize? What are you going to prioritize? Give me 10 minutes. And this is the real 10 minutes. Grace doctrine of preaching demands far wider acquaintance with the grace covenantal scriptures. More rigid discipline of the spiritual man, and even more extensive perusal of the Old and New Testament scriptures. When you get into the spiritual, you got to even look at the Old and New Testament a little closer. However, this is too exacting for most of today's modern ministries. Thus, they stole the line of release resistance and they followed the easier and more popular and acceptable course of basking in trendy philosophical aphorisms. It is strictly because of humans' proneness to this weakness that the grace ministers particularly extol, as we've just read in our 13th chapter, to extol, to attend to preaching, to exaltation, to teaching. Note, we have three commands there. In grasping the Greek word preskou, it means what? Attend. It's derived from combining two words, pro and esko. It literally notes to hold up, to take heed, to engage in, or become occupied in. So what do we become occupied in? This conveyance is commanding in as much as it is in the present tense, and the imperative mood. What's the imperative mood?
Command.
What is it commanding us to do? To continuously demand ministry and occupation in what? Doctrinal teaching.
Amen.
Exhortation. And reading. Now let's look at that word reading. We have three litanies here. The first one, agnosi. It is rendered reading. Here again, that word is combined from two Greek words, ana and ginosko, which literally denotes to know up and to gather up. Through the intention of its actual usage, referring to reading, there's considerable evidence in scripture contextuality, in some of it, it is conveyed in the sense of not referencing public reading. On the other hand, there's some evidence in other sections, and I just run through this right quick, that favors as private reading. But in the context here, now again, it could be used both as public or private reading. But here, when we think of private reading, we're actually talking about what? Studying. Studying. It's about study. It's about study. You know what's amazing to me? When it comes to the secular stuff, we'll go to school and we'll study that. When it comes to church, we want to dumb it down. Don't strain my brain with technical stuff from the scriptures. And it's not about being technical. It's about getting the right conveyance. You're not about to get up here and do grace doctrinal teaching and preaching if you never study. And I tell the ministers here, don't you jump at the last minute talking about you got to study to preach. The pastor used to tell me, I remember one time I was in the pulpit, the pastor turned to me and said, preach. I got up and I don't know what I did, but I was a little warm with him after the service. Man, he turned to me and said, I didn't have a chance to study. He said, I don't want you studying to preach. He said, I want you to preach out of your studying. So if I wake you up in the middle of the night, 3:00 in the morning, and I say, preach and teach, you get up and preach and teach. So this word really refers to studying. 2 Timothy 2:15. What? Study to show thyselves as a what? A what? An unashamed worker doing what? Rightly divided. You're not going to do that at the last minute.
Amen.
Not going to do that at the last minute. When the clouds get full, then what happens? It rains, doesn't it, huh? So you're soaking up this stuff all the time. We have a second litany there. Paraklesia. It is rendered exaltation. Again, we combine the two words, para and kaleo. It literally notes to call besides, are to encourage, entreat, and comfort. These words comfort. I don't have to sit here and tell you, amen, some silly stuff about what's going on out there, so forth and so on. No! If we just speak and focus on the God of our salvation, amen, you're going to have comfort in Him, and it has nothing to do with what's going on around you.
Amen.
Notice that exaltation, and of course here, that when I pass out to the ministers, I think I passed out to the congregation, analysis of perennials. And when you're in Paul's epistles, amen, it is the indicative that drives the imperative.
Yeah.
The indicative is what? That's the fact. I give you the fact, amen, and God, the Holy Spirit does the work, amen, and I don't have to speak to what's going on out there and your 401ks and all that kind of stuff, amen. Oh my God, as we dwell upon the essence of justification,
yeah.
Oh my God, in the election and the deep things of God, and we see the essence of who you are in Christ, amen. You are safe regardless, even if that 401k disappears.
Because
that's not where your security is anyway. You all better hear me this morning. This clearly embellishes the link of encouragement, exaltation, and comfort. I got the scriptures there. But the essence of what Christ-centeredness and the sphere of spirituality exudes in his message. We got scriptures there. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 22 conveyance confirms holding up, sustaining, and supporting what? The grace doctrinal message of exaltation. as the sole source of what is embodied and what is revealed in the grace contract scriptures. This ministry is solely based purely in the Word, elaborated utterly on the Word, an appeal for identification to the Word. Again, based on the Word, in the Word, elaborated on the Word, an appeal for identification to the Word. The third and last litany as I go to my seat. Theistoskelios. Theistoskelios is remnant teaching. Theistoskelios. Teaching. And of course, everybody, I'm listening to this. We know there are no gerunds in the Greek. It engrosses the transmitting of information, instruction, and stimulation of spiritual cogitating or spiritual thinking patterns in the minds of the creed hearers. Well, I say the creed hearers, our job is to preach this. And the assumption is those that are in the pews are the elect of God. Say, what if they're not? That's not my business. Because if I got to reach out and touch the non-elect, those who is not attended to, I got to leave this. If I stay in this, but we've just got through reading. What is the charge? Stay in it. Amen. That these preach. The contents of sound doctrinal teaching imbues the gospel of grace, which was entrusted to the Apostle Paul. It's like a broken record. Yes, we're going to continue to say that. This exclusively should be taught to the recipients of grace who manifestly are occupants of the body of Christ in the present grace dispensation. And we say, stay in your gospel. This all we're going to preach. Like you say, you come into a Chinese restaurant because you like Chinese food. The assumption is if you walk through these doors, you love the gospel of the grace of God. Because that's all you're going to get here. Amen. These messages are formatted in epistles, as we said last week, comprising truth to be internalized through the medium of the Holy Spirit, who is the sole teacher of spiritual things of God. 1 Corinthians 2:13, there is a plethora of scriptural documentations emphasizing that this central message entails the mystery as revealed in the grace covenant to the grace church through the Apostle Paul, even as he instructed Timothy. Here we reference 2 Timothy 2 and 2, 2 Timothy 3 and 10, and 14. Now, final statement. The Grace Gospel Church ministry believes and teaches that genuine ministering imbues engagement and occupation with reading, that is studying, exhorting, and encouraging. How? Through the prioritizing of the message of the mystery, the grace doctrine. This truth was previously hidden, but is now being made known solely through sound doctrinal preaching and teaching, which comprises adequate definition of the ministering format that the church should convey today. Yes, Lord. Repeat after me, sound preaching and teaching, is the only preaching and teaching that imbues the grace doctrine. God bless you.
Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Amen.